Just curious, how many people have served in the military for us out there? How many of you served in two different branches? Have you served in three different branches? I'm curious as to what uniform he wears to different... You can come on up, Matt. We're thrilled Matt's here. Matt has... if you ever sit and talk with Matt, he has such a gentle heart, but dedicated for mission and purpose. And so we are thrilled that you are with us this morning to share with us.
I think, Pastor John, do I have to turn this on?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you there? Can everybody hear me? Well, thanks for having me. I thought I was coming at 11 o'clock. And I was down in New Brighton eating at the hot dog shop. And Mrs. Penner said, you know, we start at 8:30. It was like 8:15. 5 minutes later... I mean, I broke every record in New Brighton, but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here and get to tell you a little bit about Tiger Paws, but really what I come do is tell you about what the Lord has laid on my heart for Concord United Methodist. I prayed a lot when I knew about a month ago that I was going to be able to come here and speak, and I know kind of a little bit of what you're going through, and just wanted to tell you that Tiger Paws stands with you, I stand with you, and if there's anything we can do, just reach out and call. But I was a Marine first, and then I went to the Army and to the Air Force. I kind of liked the progression. I was just like a merchant for hire. But if you don't recognize me, I have a little bit of this, and my hair is a little bit different. I call it the Rip Wheeler that evaded Alex Vucelich's closet look. All right, let's just think again. Rip Wheeler evades Alex Vucelich's closet. Now, you know, most of you know Alex, right? Who knows Alex? He's a pretty handsome guy. He's a sharp dresser. That's why I seen him one time at a wedding. I was like, man, that's a sharp suit. I got to look like Alex one day. But if you know who Rip Wheeler is, it's a pretty good thing that you're in church, because if your guilty pleasure is watching Yellowstone, then you probably need to be here to repent. Amen? And if you're wondering what Matt Nance was like before Christ, or how I do the things I do in Beaver Falls, how I run the bunkhouse down there, a.k.a. boys running around doing jobs, you don't have to look any further than Rip Wheeler. You want to fight somebody, you fight me. That's the rules down there at Tiger Paws, and that's how we've kind of grown. I'm not saying it's great, but that's how it's gone. Yellowstone, it's a TV show. It's vulgar, vicious, and violent. But then guess what? So is the Old Testament. People fighting for land, holding land, the promised land, family dysfunction, brothers backstabbing each other, the things that we will do for our kids that sound familiar, that's all in the Old Testament. And then we're seeing it played out on a TV show, right? But the biggest similarity between Yellowstone and the Bible is kingdoms. As John Dutton said in one episode, he says, my kingdom, my rules. Now, the irony of the whole show is that some nation allowed the Duttons 200 years ago to take land off another nation. They made it possible. Then 200 years later, that same nation made it possible for another nation, or is making it possible for another nation, to take the lands back off the Duttons. Now, some people refer to this nation as the man. Some people refer to this nation as the government. But Ephesians 2:2 tells you it's the prince of the power of the air. The spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. But let's see what Jesus had to say about it. In Matthew 25:4, he said, Jesus answered him, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. and then the end will come. I love this country. I put 22 years into it, and hopefully I'll get to get my retirement when I turn 58 and get it back. I love this country. I love indoor plumbing. I sometimes enjoy the fellowship in the camaraderie of my fellow citizens. But I don't want myself, nor you, or nor anybody to be under the disillusionment or the disappointment that America, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, is not the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For to us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." Now, history teaches us, no matter who's writing it, doesn't matter who's trying to sway it one way or the other, but history will teach you two main things. Nations will rise for looking for power, prestige, and prominence. And they will fall because they pervert the way of teaching young men how to provide, protect, and promote. So what does that mean? What does our society teach today, young men, specifically young men, how to protect their families? Go get yourself a gun, right? Second Amendment. Don't let nobody hit you. You hit back, right? That's what our society teaches. That's what we grow on, right? How does our country teach, especially our kids nowadays, how to provide? Make as much money as you can. Go to college. Get some rental houses. Buy property. Network, right? That's how you provide for your family, right? What does our nation and our country and our society do today to promote things? Everybody's going to go watch a Steeler game. How many kids are in AAU? Play basketball. We got to get our kids to this training and this training and this training and this training. And guess what? We're even going to play baseball and football games on Sunday now for little kids, because our kids got to be the best. You got to be better than the other kid that you're playing sports with. It's a billion-dollar industry. That's what our country promotes. I'm not saying here, but if outside these doors, our country promotes that. But what should we be promoting? What should we be protecting? How should we be teaching protection? How should we be talking about provision? How about this? Protect. How about teach our children to guard their hearts? For out of the heart, all things flow from a man. How about we start teaching our children how to provide? How about mind your own business, live a quiet life, and work with your hands? How about we teach our children how to promote the right thing? A tranquil heart will give life to the flesh, but envy will rot the bones. See, there's two different kingdoms always going on. There's a kingdom that's trying to steal your children and a kingdom that God has provided for your children. And you, as a parents, as adults, or guardians, or aunts and uncles, have a choice on which kingdom you're going to direct your children to. So my first question is for you tonight, today, is what kingdom are you seeking? What kingdom are you seeking? Is it a kingdom where you use God to make things possible? Or is it a kingdom where God uses you to do the impossible? An easy way to figure that out is to look yourself in the mirror and find out, what kind of person are you following? Who are you following? Samson gives us a good look of a man who knows God, is led by the Spirit of God, and has a knack for doing the right things for the wrong reason, or having the right reason for doing the wrong thing. If you look back and read a book about Samson, you know, we all teach our kids about Samson and Delilah, but there's more to the story there. There's so much more to the story there. Samson's the kind of guy that everybody wants to get behind because he's going to break the yoke of oppression and break slavery, and he's a man that can kill 1,000 guys with his hands, and he can do this and he can do that, right? And everybody gets behind him, gets excited because he's going to give them what they think they need, right? Confrontational, intimidating, egocentric, and domineering. Samson was one of the last judges and a precursor to the king that the people wanted instead of the Lord. So here comes Samson. As he died, he pushed those beams and pillars down. He prayed for forgiveness, and that was all good. That was great. He killed all the Philistine captors. And so begins a new era of non-slavery for the Israel people. Now they're looking around for who's going to lead them next. And instead of turning to the Lord, well, they turned to the Lord, but, Samuel's sons were old and weren't following his way. So they're looking around and looking for a leader. And they go to Samuel and say, "We want a king for this kingdom." But the Lord said, "I want to be their king." They said, no, we need a king like this. And if you read 1 Samuel chapter 8, I thought about reading it out to you today, but it might take a little bit long. But I encourage you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. See what the people chose. And Samuel even told them, "This is what the king's going to do to you. This is the task that's going to be put ahead of you if you pick this king." But the people just wanted a king for that kind of kingdom. I'll tell you what I would. I wouldn't trust this type of guy to pour pee out of a boot if the instructions were on the heel. That was a joke in case you didn't get that, right? Right? That's the kind of guy, if you're following guys like that, you need to really recheck yourself and think about your priorities and what kind of kingdom you're looking for. The kind of guy I want to follow is the one who can take a punch. It's the one who puts on the breastplate of righteousness, and he lets people pour out all their pride, their unbelief, their not clean thoughts, their cold and hard hearts on them. He just sits there and takes a punch until they punch himself out. Almost kind of like Rocky. Who's seen Rocky before? Hey, everybody loves Rocky, right? He just keeps on taking. Remember the one time in Rocky 2, the manager of Apollo Creed goes, "I seen you beat that man like no one's been beat before, and he just kept coming. Let it go, champ. Let it go." Remember that? Remember that? I mean, Rocky would just stand and take a punch all day long. And then eventually, what he did was he punched back. And what us believers need to do is we need to take out. How do we punch back? It's that sword of the Spirit, right? We take that sword of the Spirit and we punch back. So the people in your life. I want you to think about people in your life that you have to deal with that are proud, have unbelief, have not clean hearts, have cold hearts or hard-hearted to the things of God. Think about those people in your life right now. What God wants you to do in this kingdom is to stand and take it right there. Take it right in the chest. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and you'll be all right. And then take out your sword of spirit. And he wants you to take that spirit. He wants you to start picking out those rocks. Then he wants you to start chopping down those weeds. And then as he says in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah, I wrote it down here somewhere. Isaiah 2:4, he says, "Beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks. And dig up the ground in the lives of the people who for some reason keep coming at you." Are you digging up the ground of the people who have hard and cold hearts in your lives? That's the kind of kingdom that we desire to live in. So I go down to Pittsburgh every Thursday to pray outside of Planned Parenthood. There's this organization called Sidewalk Advocates. They're really well organized. They have this sheet. You can sign up for all the times. All the times that Planned Parenthood is open, they have slots there so you can go down and pray. And some people that go down there, they really want to beat the literature. They don't even not so much beating the Bible. They're beating the literature of why this baby is a baby and stuff like that. There's all kinds of people down there who are pro-life that have all kinds of good intentions. But I go down there and I just pray. I hold one thing in my hand. I don't try to chase them into the door. I don't try to plead with them or nothing. I just sit there and I wait for people to pass by. I tell them, "Have a good day, good morning," stuff like that. But I just pray. And I see a lot of people come and chase people around, but sometimes the people come out and they go, "Thank you for not, getting in my face. I'm just going in there to get a pap smear, and you didn't, beat me down and try to give me stuff." I said, "Ma'am, I'm just here to pray. Ma'am, I'm just here to pray." Are you doing that in the lives of people that irritate you? Because if there's anything that irritates anybody in this house of God, should that be people who are killing unborn babies. But how are you handling that? How is God telling you to handle that? See, if we're following the kingdom of God, we need to be loving and peaceful and keep on proclaiming the truth to those people. But then we need to stand up to people in authority that are making it happen. So I have no problem if I ever see Joe Biden, tell him, Joe Biden, I ask the Lord to rebuke you for your part in killing the lives of unborn children. And just leave it at that. We don't need to have let's go Brandon signs and I did that signs and everything else like that. All you're doing is buying into the war that the devil wants you to be in. Just say, the Lord rebuke you and be about that. If everybody in this house of God and everybody in the house of God all around America would just say, the Lord rebuke you, Joe Biden, for killing unborn babies, we would see the Lord move in his kingdom. So what my second question is, what battles do you fight in your kingdom daily? What battles do you fight in your kingdom daily? We all know, I think with all the silver hair in here, I think you should all know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against princes and principalities. So what princes and principalities are you wrestling in your kingdom? When I got to Tiger Paws 18 years ago, I noticed two things stuck out at me at Tiger Paws. Every kid knew about Jesus. It didn't matter where I went. Harmony, Moreto, on the streets, down on 2nd, down by the railroad track. Every kid could say they knew about Jesus. They knew that if you said Jesus, you'd probably get to go play basketball or you go get a piece of pizza or someone would take you to VBS and all you had to do is say Jesus, right? The other thing I saw was that there was no fathers at all. It would not be uncommon for me to have 20, 25 young men that I knew not know one of their dads, that if I asked them where their dad was at, it was not around. That was a battle that I began 18 years ago. And I was like, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? He said, now looking back, I know what he was teaching me. He was telling, make disciples. Make disciples and keep plowing the ground. And make men who want to be there for their children. That was 18 years ago. Now I can tell you with a little bit of pride and a little bit of that a boy on my back, when you go to Beaver Falls, it might not be how you want it to be. There might not be men of God running down up and being serving on the deacon boards and going to church all the time. But there are men there, men, young men that I know that are now fathers. They might be out of wedlock. They might be smoking weed still. They might not be serving the Lord, but they're there and they're active in their lives of the children. In 1950, only 4% of the children grew up in fathers' homes. Now in 2017, over half the kids grew up in fathers' homes. But not in Beaver Falls, because I can take you to all the homes where the fathers are at. So we fought that battle, and we'll continue to win and watch God do things in his kingdom. The other thing is building disciples, right? Building disciples was one of my big battles in the kingdom of God here in Beaver Falls. So last week, I drove down to Savannah. Had this kid named Cody Long, played football. He's in the Army, going down to Hinesville, Georgia, Fort Stewart, I think. He's like, Mr. Matt, can you move me and my wife down to Georgia? I'm kind of short on funds, but I have this 10 days of leave, and I need to move her down there. She wants to be down there. So what I do, I call this another man. His name is Ramon Shepherd. I've known him since he was like 12 years old. Now he's 31, right? And for 26 hours, me and Ramon Shepherd talked about all the guys we knew and all the things that happened to Tiger Paws and all of his ups and downs he had walked with the Lord. He walked away from the Lord, would come back, make another bad decision, come back. And it wasn't like bad decisions, like earth-shattering decisions. Just he knew that walking with the Lord was the way to go. And I had like a tear in my eye the whole way back because the conversations you had for somebody that you knew since he was 12, now he's like 32, and how he has grown in God, in Christ, you knew that Tiger Paws was building disciples. You knew that this. So as we dropped off Cody Long down to his apartment down there in Hinesville, Georgia, I got to speak into his life. I said, you know why Tiger Paws is so good at moving? He said, no. He looked at me, he's like, I said, you know where I learned to do moves? Well, he's like, no. I said, when I was in the Marine Corps, I used to move a lot of people. Guys I knew had girlfriends on the side. Girlfriends, guys that were married had girlfriends that were strippers. You know, that things kind of happened. So guess where, when it was the weekend, guess where Matt Nance was always at? It seemed to be at some trailer park or some house moving furniture in the most unruly circumstances. And I said to Cody Long, I said, let me tell you three things, Cody. I said, do things together with your wife. Do things together sober with your wife. But the most important thing you can do is ask your wife every day, what can you do to make her life better? And then do it. And he registered, that registered him with him, right? So as we get, I said, can I pray for you and for this house? I got to pray. He's like, sure, Mr. Bat, I'd love for you to pray for me and this house. And I got to tell him the most important thing that you can do, learn as a man. The most important thing you can do as a man for your wife is to honor and understand her. And you could see the light bulbs going off in his head. And you knew that we made a difference, that the word of God made a difference. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth in John 17:17. My next question for you is, will you let the truth of God's word sanctify you for his kingdom? Right, three questions. What kingdom are you seeking? What battles are in your kingdom? And will you let the word of God, the truth of word, God's word, sanctify you for his kingdom? Right? I got a call the other day from a United Methodist Church in Canton, Ohio. They're like, we heard so much about Tiger Paws. I used to go to Geneva College. We really want to help. We have like an after-school program. How do we make it better? I said, well, I'm not the right guy to talk to. You need to talk to Erica Vucelich because she's the one that made it all happen. Right? She did an amazing job from when she first came about 10, 12 years ago to now. It's just unbelievable what she's been able to do down at Tiger Paws with these kids at the after-school program. And so I'm kind of feeling him out because he said he's United Methodist. So then I go, he's like, well, what? How do you do this? And he's asking all these questions. And I'm just like, you know, I'm busy. And at the same time, I want to know what's going on. I said, well, the first thing you need to do if you're a United Methodist is figure out if you're down for ordaining gay ministers or not, because I can't help you if you are. He's like, oh, no, we're not. We're breaking away. And he started telling me about how he has to pay $100,000 to break away from the church out there. And he said, I heard what they're doing in Pennsylvania. He said, they're really sticking it to the churches in Pennsylvania. And we got to talk some more. And I said, you know what? I said, if you need me, come. Let's have a time. You can come down and visit, and I'll make time for you to figure out how we do things at Tiger Paws. He said, that's great. Come down. I said, but let me tell you the first thing you need to do. He's like, what? I said, you need to read Mark chapter 11. Right? Mark chapter 11. Somewhere in there, Mark chapter 11, it says you have this huge mountain in front of you. You want the mountain to be gone, thrown into the sea. It tells you how to do it. If you believe, if you have faith, this mountain will be into the sea. But there's one thing you got to do. What is that? We read it this morning. You got to forgive. Concord has a huge mountain in front of them. And the question today is, will you forgive? Will you forgive the people who put that mountain in front of you? Because that's the first step of getting rid of that mountain. Right? And the other thing was, will you not lose sight of the bigger blessing? The blessing of being ready. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy them for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered to them, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Are you out there getting your lamps filled? That's one of the most exciting things And this journey of this pilgrimage that we have is getting our lamps filled daily. Are you out there doing it? Because God is the one filling them. And he never runs out of oil. And he knows maybe, and who knows, maybe your lamp will shine the light in the darkness and motivate others to go get their oil. I lost my trot. I'm sorry. But no matter what you're doing and all you're getting, whether you're getting oil, whether you're getting money, whether you're getting saving souls, and all you're doing, get understanding. Get understanding about this kingdom that we're entering into. So the funny thing about it, going down to Cody Long, it cost Tiger Paw some money. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, how am I going to pay for this? Gas ain't cheap. Time, you know, time ain't cheap. And how am I going to pay for this? And I'm going, and I just had a conversation with somebody from the state office come trying to raise some money for the J.C. Murphy's 5 and 10. And she says to me, she goes, you have a board. Your board's job is to make it rain. They should be putting you in positions to get you money, the money that you need to finish this building. And I'm trying to explain to this lady, that's not how our board's set up. That's not what we do at Tiger Paws. But she didn't want to hear about it. She was, you know, she's in Harrisburg and she's just telling me what I need to do. She says, you need to get your board to make it rain. So on Sunday, before I went out to Georgia, I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, we need to make money and this and that. And I said, I'm just going to give it up to you, Lord. And I gave it up to you. And wouldn't you know, 2 hours later, I get a phone call from somebody from community development. She says, I have an extra $22,000 for you. All you got to do is sign it on Monday. I said, I'm going to be in Georgia on Monday. She says, can you do it DocuSign? I said, oh, yeah, I can. So the whole way down to Georgia, I'm like, this is great. I got a little bit of extra food, and I took a little bit easier because I didn't have to rush back because I knew that money was coming. It was a good thing. Why do I say that all to you? Why do I say all that to you? Because this church is a church of farmers, right? This church was pretty much grown, you know, built by farmers. And who does God understand better than farmers? Right? All you got to do is ask. In God's kingdom, he's got the oil. He's got the money. All you got to do is ask God to make it rain. So let's pray to that end, huh? Bow your heads with me. Dear Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the things you've done for us. I thank you for this church. And Lord, I thank you for the mountains that are in front of them. Help them use those mountains to enact your word, to learn forgiveness for those who have despitefully used them and hurt them and seek to hinder their way of growing as a church family, Lord. I just thank you for the rain, and I ask you to send it down on Concord United Methodist. They might truly be alive in the spirit and do the things that you desire them to do. That they would have fun in the journey and the pilgrimage of this growing in Christ. Lord, I thank you for all the many blessings, and I just ask you to watch over and protect them as they go out these doors today. I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.